Yeah, so last Sabbath, we left off at Revelation chapter 2, verses 17. And briefly it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that, that no one knows except the one who receives it." And again, this is to the congregation in Pergamos. Where Satan's throne dwells, and our brother Richard talked about, gave information about that regarding how the Babylonian authority and highest authority was transferred to Rome in that location many ages ago. So it says, "I will give." So the hidden manna is the bread that comes from above. It's not the manna that the people of Israel ate while they were in the desert that he commanded for them. This is the manna that Messiah spoke about, that when he says, the bread that Moses, that was given in Moses' time, I'm paraphrasing again, was not that bread, but he is the living bread. He is the living bread. And his and the meaning of eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood. He is that living food. And we know it's not a literal thing, but it has spirit, it has spiritual. It's putting on the mind, it's receiving the mind of Messiah, putting on the mind of Messiah that's handed to you. You cannot just change your mind and have the mind of Messiah. You can ask, you can want the mind of Messiah, you can ask for the mind of Messiah, and Elohim will give you the mind of Messiah, the spirit of Messiah, the body of Messiah to be in you as he, with all the meaning that goes behind that. So I'll give you the hidden manna. And as I read, as years ago, I discovered that Messiah was indeed hidden, because there's a scripture, I don't remember where, that says, and he was revealed. Something that is revealed to must have been something that was hidden. So I picked up on that very early on in my mature years, that Messiah was once hidden, unknown. And then when I read the book of Enoch, I think chapter 60-something, it makes that very clear that the Son of Man was indeed hidden. It makes that very clear. It tells you all the things that you see Messiah teaches. You'll find them, much of it, in the book of Enoch in great detail. The people who understood those things knew what he could know what he was talking about, but many couldn't because they were unaware of these things. But let's move on. So the white stone, as I started to mention last Sabbath, the white stone is representative of a custom that was understood in the Middle East and Mediterranean areas. And that is, it's a unanimous, it represents a unanimous judgment decision that a particular person is innocent, is welcome. It has so, and there will be an everlasting, good, unending relationship with that person, and so much. It represents all in the positive, forgiveness and welcoming and being one with. And so that's what that stone represented in back in those days. So when it says, "I will give you him a white stone," it means I will, it says, whoever overcomes, right? Whoever conquers, I will, besides the manna, I will give him this white stone. So they understood what that meant. It's just like, I will give you grain. Will the heavenlies have grain? No, it's just saying you will be fed. So in this case, the white stone, the people of that time understood what that meant. So by saying that, he said a lot to them. You will be received. You will receive absolute forgiveness. You will be forever a part of Elohim. And your name, your authority that I will give you will be something from me that only I know, meaning only Elohim knows, and the person that he gives it to. Of course, it will be made manifest, but when it is given, no one will know. except the one who received it and the one who gives it. It's similar to what Peter says. How about him asking about John? He said, just follow me. You don't need to know what I'm doing with John. Just follow me. The works of John will manifest even as your works by the Spirit will manifest. So don't worry about that. So it's a new name that no one will know but will eventually manifest. So let's go. So that's what I needed to say there. That about that. So let's move on to verse 18 to the congregation of Thyatira. And to the angel and or messenger of the congregation in Thyatira, write the words of the Son of Elohim, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Verse 21, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her unto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, And I will strike her children dead. And all the congregations will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart. And I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Verse 24, but to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. Verse 26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority. I will give a name over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, have received a name from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. That's verse 29. Let's see how much time I have. I'll do a little bit. So to the congregation in Thyatira, write the works of the Son of Elohim. Something new to those who didn't know in the New Testament, but old to those ancient old Yehudim who had the writings of Ezra, Clement, Enoch, Jubilees. They knew exactly who the Son of Elohim is. They did not deny that there was a Son of Elohim as many of the Pharisees and Sadducees did. They did not, because they knew there was the scriptures said there was a Son of Elohim. They did not deny such a thing. Whose eyes like a flame of fire, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith. And so I don't need to read that. So verse 19 says, okay, that you did good works. But not only do you do good works, but your latter works, your more recent works, are better than your first. But I still have this against you. So we need... because you tolerate a false person. You tolerate a wicked person in your midst. That's telling us we're not to do that. In this case, it was somebody that you could say had the spirit or likeness of Jezebel, who functioned like Jezebel. That's the negative. Just as in the positive, John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah and functioned like Elijah, even wore a rough coat like Elijah. Did
those of you who taught, listen to my teaching about the symbolism of head coverings and things like that. You've heard me describe how that was done in ancient times. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel. And Jezebel, you could find information about her in the book of Kings. She, without going there for lack of time, Ahab, the king of Israel, sinned against Elohim and decided, worst of all, to marry the prophetess of Baal. As a matter of fact, let me take a quick look at that. 1 Kings chapter 16. I think it's important for us to just catch a few things from it. Just one verse. 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16 says, verse 31. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jerob, speaking of Ahab, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel and the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. He took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of the tree of Baal. Ethbaal, Eth in Hebrew means like tree or wood, and Baal is Baal. Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Wasn't bad enough that he was doing the sins of Jeroboam. Like Jeroboam, he went and married her and served Baal. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. You could read more about that in the book of Kings, Kings chapter 16. But this is the mindset of this woman. So you could understand that she was doing similar things, but the spirit that worked in Jezebel, that made her Jezebel, is working in her, in this person. Calls herself, and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality. So she seduced them to practice sexual and to eat food sacrificed to idols. As you know, Paul says the idol is nothing, just as the Torah says. And the prophet says they have eyes, they see not, they can do it, there's no breath in them. So Paul's correct. But you're not to do it because they're dedicated to demons who are real. These idols are reflective of the demons. So I gave her time to repent. So despite this person's great sins, he gave her time to repent, but she refuses. Hence those who will perish. Those who will perish are those who refuse. We are not to tolerate in our midst, in our homes, in our congregations, in our fellowship, those who refuse. And you will see that again in the accounts of Clement, how Peter handled these situations. I look forward to the day that maybe Brother Richard or I or anyone will start reading the book of Clement together, and we'll see these wonderful things. They didn't tolerate certain things, but yet they were very long-suffering with those who were wanting to learn and humble about. But once you rejected the truth outright, they had nothing to do with you, even though they will pray for hoping for your repentance. But as long as a person had rejected the truth, they had nothing to do with them. They would not eat bread with them, nothing. They wouldn't even sit at the same table with them. So I gave her time to repent, but she refuses of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into a great tribulation. Why did the Christian suffer in any believer who suffered in the great tribulation did so because they were not walking circumspect? And this is what I teach my daughter. I teach all that I can. Walk circumspect. Because Elohim sets the sinner, the wicked, in slippery places. You don't know when the time of visitation will come. Because if we operate in that mindset, that Jezebel, that kind of, I'll have time tomorrow. It's an insult. It's a great insult. It's being presumptuous. It's taking advantage of his mercy. We ought not to do that. We must repent instantly. As somewhere in Psalms 19 says, quickly I turn to your commandments. Quickly. When sin crouches at our door, sin can't come in unless we let sin in. We must turn quickly to Elohim, to the commands of Elohim, so we don't enter trouble when the time of visitation comes. Unless they repent of her works. Even as he's given them the chance. See, this is the warning. You have a chance. Repent. Turn from that way. Unless they repent of her. See, he won't do it if they repent. He's so gracious. And I will strike her children dead, and he will destroy them if they don't. That's what's going to happen to the wicked. Those who refuse continually and thus sin against the spirit of grace of Elohim. And all the congregations will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. So there's nothing hidden here. See, there are some who think, who's going to know what I'm doing? You know, I'm going to come, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to live, and then next week, and then I'm going to live my little life. In the law, it talks about this in Leviticus somewhere on chapter 16, 19. There, he will, those who would sin knowingly in their hearts, he said, Elohim says, he himself will deal with them because he knows what they're thinking. You understand? And I will strike her children. Then the congregations will know I am he who searches the hearts and the reign. They will know this. Or they will experience it. Don't they know? Don't the congregations? Of course they know. But they will be reminded that it will be enlivened. They will be strongly reminded of that fact. I am he who searches the heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Now that's if they don't repent again. So when does the, I'm jumping ahead, but when you hear judged by the works, chances are such people will not be in the first resurrection. They will not be elect. They might not be elect. We'll find out. Because in the second resurrection, those who are judged, they're judged by their works. Okay, so, but I'm skipping ahead. So let's see. Let's end to this here. Verse 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Why? Because he says, I know your works, your love and patience and service and your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But there are some who are following this Jezebel ideology. So those that are not doing this, you're okay, he's basically saying. Only hold fast what you have until I come. So I stop here. So those of us, dear brethren, are doing the good works, let's do the good works. Let's try to excel in righteousness. And let's make sure we don't accept any wicked thing. Let's prove all things so we can know what's true and what's not true. Some people have the mindset, I was born this, I will die this. We ought not to have that mindset. We have to say, I will live by the truth. That's what we ought to say. I will seek out the truth. It's not that I am of this sect or I'm that sect and I'll die and I'll never change. We have to make sure that we prove all things. Because if we're wise, we'll check. Well, I felt very strongly before about things that I found that I was wrong. So who is to say that some of the things that we're holding on to, that we think we know, that we're not wrong? So that's why we have to prove all things over and over. And when Elohim gives you an opportunity to hear another perspective, don't listen as if to readily change, but listen to see as proof if what you believe is true or not. It may prove that what you're believing is true, or it may make you see a flaw in your thinking. So we need to prove all things. So thank you, dear brethren. Back to you, Brother Felix.